Today is the 30th day of June. The last day of June. The last day of the 6th month of the year. So we are right here at the halfway point on our grand adventure through the scriptures. So grateful to be here with you as we pass through this threshold and continue the journey forward. Grateful for the opportunity to take the next step. And so let's mark the time halfway through the year. And let's dive in. 2 Kings chapter 17 verse 1 through 18 verse 12. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, became king over Israel in Samaria and ruled for 9 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not like the kings of Israel who came before him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, went up against him, and Hoshea became his vassal and paid tribute to him. But the king of Assyria caught Hoshea in a conspiracy. He had sent messengers to Saul, king of Egypt, and he did not send tribute to the king of Assyria as he had done in previous years. That is why the king of Assyria arrested him and confined him in prison. Then the king of Assyria invaded the whole land. He went up against Samaria and laid siege to it for 3 years. In Hoshea's 9th year, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and exiled Israel to Assyria. He made them live in Halah, along the Habor River, which is the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. This happened because the people of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they feared other gods. They walked in the practices of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel, and the practices which the kings of Israel had introduced. The people of Israel did secret things against the Lord their God, which were not right. They also built high places for themselves in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up sacred memorial stones and Asherah poles for themselves upon every high hill and under every leafy tree. They offered sacrifices at all the high places, like the nations that God drove out before them. They did evil things, provoking the Lord to anger. They served filthy idols, even though the Lord had said to them, "You must not do this." The Lord had warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, saying, "Turn back from your evil ways and keep my commands and my regulations, according to the entire law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you through my servants, the prophets." But they did not listen. They made their necks just as stiff as their fathers, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his regulations and the covenant which he had made with their fathers and the testimony with which he had warned them. They followed useless idols and they became useless themselves. They followed the other nations around them about whom the Lord had commanded them, "Do not do as they do." They deserted all the commands of the Lord their God, and they made for themselves cast metal images, 2 calves. They made Asherah poles, and they bowed down to the whole army of the heavens, and they served Baal. They made their sons and daughters pass through the fire. They engaged in divination and sought omens and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. So the Lord was furious with Israel, and he removed them from his presence. None was left, only the tribe of Judah. Even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord their God. They walked in the practices which Israel introduced. So the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and he afflicted them. He gave them into the hand of plunderers until he cast them out of his presence. When the Lord tore Israel away from the house of David, they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, king, but Jeroboam drove Israel away from following the Lord. He caused them to commit a great sin. The people of Israel walked in all the sins which Jeroboam did. They did not turn from them until the Lord removed Israel from his presence, just as he had said through all his servants, the prophets. So Israel went to Assyria into exile from her homeland to this day. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Abba, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and he settled them in the cities of Samaria in the place of the people of Israel. They took possession of Samaria and lived in its cities. When they began to settle there, they did not fear the Lord, so the Lord sent lions among them. The lions were killing people, so they said to the king of Assyria, "The peoples whom you deported and settled in the cities of Samaria do not know the customs of the God of the land. That is why he has sent lions among them, and the lions are killing people, because there aren't any people left who know the customs of the God of the land." So the king of Assyria commanded, "Get one of the priests who was exiled from there. He will go and live there and teach the customs of the God of the land." So one of the priests who had been exiled from Samaria came and lived in Bethel. He was teaching them how they should fear the Lord. But each nation was still making its own gods and setting them in the shrines of the high places which the Samaritans had made, each nation in their cities where they were dwelling. The people from Babylon made Sukkoth Benoth. The people from Cuth made Nergal. The people from Hamath made Ashima. The people from Ava made Nibhaz and Tartak. The people from Sepharvaim were burning their sons in the fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They were fearing the Lord, but they were making priests for their high places from all kinds of people who were serving them in the shrines on the high places. They were fearing the Lord, but they were also serving their gods according to the customs of the nations from which they had been deported. To this day, they are acting according to their former customs. There are none of them who fear the Lord, and there is no one who acts according to the regulations, ordinances, law, and commands which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, to whom he gave the name Israel. The Lord had made a covenant with them and commanded them, "Do not fear other gods. Do not bow down to them. Do not serve them. Do not sacrifice to them. Rather, fear the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm. Fear him and bow down to him and offer sacrifices to him. Keep the regulations, ordinances, law, and commands which he wrote for you and do not fear other gods. Do not forget the covenant I made with you and do not fear other gods. Fear only the Lord your God. He is the one who will save you from the hand of all your enemies." But these nations did not listen. Instead, they acted according to their former customs. These nations were fearing the Lord, and they were serving their idols. Their children and their grandchildren did just as their fathers had done. They are doing this up to this day. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like everything that his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred memorial stones, cut down the Asherah poles, and broke into pieces the bronze serpent which Moses had made, because until those days the people of Israel had been burning incense to it. They called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, and there was no one like him among the kings of Judah, before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord. He did not turn aside from following him, but he kept the command which the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord was with him wherever he went. The Lord gave him success. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He struck down the Philistines all the way to Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. In Hezekiah's fourth year, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, went up against Samaria and laid siege to it. They captured it at the end of 3 years. In the sixth year, which was the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was captured. Then the king of Assyria exiled Israel to Assyria. He settled them in Halah and on the Habor River, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. This was because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord their God, but they abandoned his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. They did not listen to it or obey it. Acts 20. After the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and encouraged them. After saying goodbye, he left to go to Macedonia. After he had gone through those areas and had spoken many words of encouragement to the people, he came to Greece and stayed there 3 months. Because a plot was made against him by the Jews just as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy, along with Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and within 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul spoke to the people. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were gathered. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. He was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul kept on talking for a long time. When he was sound asleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up, dead. Paul went down, bent over him, threw his arms around him, and said, "Do not be alarmed, because he is alive." Then he went upstairs, broke bread, and ate. After talking for a considerable time until dawn, he left. They brought the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul on board. He had arranged it this way since he was intending to travel there by land. When he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. From there we set sail. We arrived off Chios the next day. The day after that we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day we came to Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in the province of Asia. He was in a hurry to be in Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When they came to him, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I set foot in the province of Asia. I served the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with the trials that came to me due to the plots of the Jews. You know how I did not hesitate to proclaim to you anything that would be beneficial for you, or to teach you publicly and from house to house. I have solemnly testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, now I am going to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit keeps warning me in town after town that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. However, I consider my life as of no great value to me, so that I may finish my race and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Now take note of this too. I know that none of you, among whom I went around preaching the kingdom of God, will ever see my face again. Therefore, I solemnly declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not hesitate to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God. Always keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves who will not spare the flock will come in among you. Even from your own group, men will rise up, twisting the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be always on the alert. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, I never stopped warning each one of you with tears. And now, I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which has power to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I did not covet anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my needs and for those who were with me. In every way, I gave you an example that by working hard like this, we need to help the weak and to remember the words that the Lord Jesus himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. After Paul said these things, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept very much as they threw their arms around Paul's neck and kissed him. They were most distressed over the statement he made that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Psalm 148. Praise him, all creation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his armies. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you bright stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters which are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, because he commanded and they were created. He caused them to stand forever and ever. He gave a decree and it will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and fog, storm winds that obey his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, crawling creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, officials and all judges on earth, young men and also young women, old people with young people. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up a horn for his people, the praise of all his favored ones, for the children of Israel, the people close to him. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. fool's lips enter a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a trap for his soul. Okay, so there, that actually puts us squarely halfway through. 6 months in, and as we conclude our 6 months in the scriptures, we faced a very sad day in the Old Testament. Monumentally sad, actually. And also a sad scene in the New Testament. So in 2 Kings, and this is a big deal, this is monumental, the Assyrian Empire attacked Samaria, which is the capital city. Wherever you may live, think of your capital city of your nation. That is Samaria for the kingdom of Israel. It was attacked. It took 3 years, but eventually Samaria fell. And when Samaria fell, the northern kingdom of Israel is conquered. And the scriptures are very clear to tell us a couple of times that the reason, the root of this, that this tragedy was breaking covenant, was seeking another God. So God made covenant with Israel. They have lived in idolatry. The people have given their hearts in worship to something other than God, which is infidelity. And although we don't bow before physical idols, that does not mean that idolatry and infidelity against God no longer exists. Anything that we're going to give our hearts to in worship that is not God, that can be a car, that can be a job, that can be a desire, that can be a person, that can be an addiction, that can be a fear, anything that we're going to give ourselves to, you have to think of that in the same kind of way that you think of your marriage, like with your partner. Anything that you're going to give yourself to in any way outside the relationship. And this is what we're talking about with God. That's idolatry. That is infidelity. So God had sent every warning. We watched this happen. We've read this story. He kept sending prophets to warn them. He begged his people not to go that path. They just were seduced. They just wouldn't listen. And in today's reading then, well, the judgment that they had brought upon themselves, everything that they brought upon themselves as a result, the consequences of their choices were upon them, and Israel collapses. And the people are deported and are taken into exile. And that's sad, but here's the real sad part. We will never see them again. They were never seen in the world again. 10 tribes of Israel are assimilated into future kingdoms, and they are never cohesive tribes ever again. 10 of the tribes that we've been journeying with since the book of Genesis, they're gone. They are known as the people of the diaspora, the dispersion. They are now known as the lost tribes of Israel. So may we ponder that. May we ponder that and apply it in our lives. But man, we just lost a bunch of the story. This is where so much of it ends that we've been journeying with. Then in the book of Acts, we also have this really kind of melancholy, sad story. So the Holy Spirit has instructed Paul that he should go back to Jerusalem. He's a long way from there, but he's got a long way to go. And that will be dangerous, to say the least, because we've seen the mayhem that Paul stirs up everywhere that he goes to share the gospel, throughout every one of the missionary journeys that we have followed him on, all the way through modern day Turkey. Like, this is the Roman Empire that Paul's traveling through at his time, but man, he's traveled from modern day Israel to modern day Turkey to modern day Greece, and like all the way to Athens. This is a long way. This is the other side of the Mediterranean Sea that he has traveled, and he's now told to go back to Jerusalem. But returning to Jerusalem like is gonna exponentially amplify the danger to his life. So Paul sends word to the leaders of the Ephesian church, Ephesus. Well, I mean, there's a letter to the Ephesians. Ephesus is still a magnificent archaeological site until this day. I remember just walking the streets and thinking about the Apostle Paul, and he sends word to the Ephesian church so that they could meet him when his ship had docked in Miletus. And so they're obviously overjoyed to see each other, but Paul had some really bittersweet news. And he reminds them of why he endured so much to come to them. And he told them that he had to go back to Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit had instructed this. And he didn't know everything that would happen, but he did know that the suffering and chains were a part of the story. And so he told them something very sad. I quote Paul here. "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work that was assigned to me by Jesus, our Lord. And that is the work of telling others the good news about the grace of God. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see my face again. And so I declare to you right now that I have been faithful." So as we approach the second half of the year, we do it without 10 of the tribes of Israel and with certain imprisonment ahead for the Apostle Paul. Thankfully, there's so much more than that that is before us, but in this moment, we should remember that the gift of the scriptures came to us because of the sacrifice of many, many people in many places in order to get the story to circumnavigate the earth and come into our lives thousands of years later. The Word of God has endured a lot to get to us today, both inside the stories and inside the history that lands us here halfway through our year. And so may we, as we get ready to engage in the second half of the year, may we give the scriptures the reverence that they deserve. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us to this point, for allowing us to get halfway through. And we do take this time to pause in this somewhat melancholy moment. And we look forward and open our hearts to the fact that it took a lot to get us here. A lot of grace and mercy in our own lives, but I mean, the blood of thousands and thousands and thousands of brothers and sisters who paid the price that this message could continue forth in this world and be a saving agent, a preserving agent, as it transforms we who hear it. Thank you for bringing us this far. We look forward to all that you have yet to teach us. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. So check them out, website or app store. Grab a hold, dive in, and just enjoy the brand new app and all of the resources and materials that are there. Also, just, man, it is the best way. You can see where you are. Graphically can see where you are as we move through the different sections of the Bible. We get brand new, like, the badges for the year as we continue our journey, and then there's just so much more, so be familiar with that. Also, reminding you at the Daily Audio Bible Shop, we launched earlier this month the brand new spiritual connection cards. And we were prepared for that, but we sold out very quickly, and we weren't prepared for that. And so we have more that are on their way. But I'm just reminding you that they are available. You can still order them, or like those are racking up, and we're like, wow, we got to order more. And so if you were kind of wanting some of those, they're on back order, but you can still order them. And the second that they come in, they are going to go back out the door. And so that is in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. And the feedback that we have got has been astounding. So glory and thanks be to God that we are able to that we are able to create resources that really do draw us into a deeper connection and relationship with God and the scriptures. So check them out in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. And then also, what's going on around here? 1 week from today is our annual Daily Audio Bible holiday that we call the Long Walk. And we've been talking about it for, you know, for a week. So kind of have the drift. This is a time to take a day away, go somewhere beautiful, and just go for a long walk with God. Like a long walk, an unhurried, uninterrupted time where really you can unpack and unstring and untangle and pull apart all that's going on in your life and speak it out loud. Speak it. You're walking, you know, like you're on a walk with God by yourself. You can say out loud everything that you need to say. And then take some time to be silent and listen for the response. Listen for what God might speak to you through the beauty of His creation and nature. Enjoy the peace and serenity and calm that comes as a result of just intentionally taking some time. And then watch the dividends that get paid off in your life over the next months from just doing that. And so plan for that. Man, there's a resource that is very, very good for that. It is a project called Songs of the Heart. You can find that. You can find where to stream it. Just if you're in the Daily Audio Bible and go to the community section, you'll find music. And in there, you can find the Heart album. This is a record that I wrote a couple years ago, really exploring the emotions of my own heart and trying to put into music what I could not say. And so that is available along with all the prayers that go with it to lead us in a time of reflection. And that has been a resource that has been used by thousands over the last couple of years for the long walk. And so that is a resource that is available. Check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Truly thank you. There is no Daily Audio Bible or Global Campfire if we are not together and in this together. And so thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Brian, Jill, and Ezekiel. Congratulations on 20 years of this beautiful place that the Lord has provided and guided you to bring the Word of God, the gathering of all the dabbers, that we would pray, supporting, encouraging one another, the perfect Bible study group that we had been praying for years, as it's been now going on 7 years since we've joined. So we pray the blessing of the Lord upon you, the family, and all the dabbers, and those working behind the scene of this place, that the Lord would graciously bless you and provide in all your needs in Jesus' name. This is Carolyn Al, Saved by Grace, formerly in Calgary, to be called Saved by Grace, please. I have a prayer request. It's our daughter, Christina, our prodigal daughter. We haven't seen her since, I believe, it's 2012. Our oldest grandson is going on 17. We haven't seen him since he was 13 months old. And he has a brother who's 11, which never met. And both their daughters are in need of salvation, Christina and Lisa. But Christina is in a really bad way, as she's pushing everybody away with this form of control that I've never seen before. If you would please lift her up. She needs the Lord Jesus. We all our families that aren't saved, they need the Lord Jesus. So I beg and I pray that only God could work in her hearts to change her, as she is so bitter, and it just breaks her heart to see how she is. And we lift up all the parents who are going through the same thing as we are, the prodigal children, as it hurts. We love you.
Hey, Dad family, this is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. I could use your prayers right now. On Friday afternoon, I experienced my eye kind of went all blurry and double vision and cross-eyed, and then the left side of my face went numb. So I went to the hospital, and I got a couple CTs. Those came back okay, but they're going to do an MRI to find out what's going on. So if y'all could be praying for me, I'd really appreciate it. I love you all, and I'm just thankful for everything that the Lord is doing in my life right now. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, amen.
Good morning, DAB. This prayer is for Trina Victorious in Vegas, who is experiencing resentment and estrangement from her adult children and her grandchildren. I'm totally feeling you, sister, and I grieve and lament with you. You are right to feel all those feelings, which probably are generational trauma, junk that were, I know I carry that around. I've got abandonment and rejection from my original family, and with the culture that we're living in, with the endorsement and enabling that the siblings do for one another, they can't sign on with somebody who stands for Jesus, as you do, no doubt. I wanted to give you a couple of scripture verses, and one is Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 38, and read it, my sister. It's about wineskins and how God is stretching us. And the other is Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, that God is going to enlarge a place of your tent. So let the Lord stretch your cords. It is not comfortable. It feels unfamiliar to us. We want the familiar. We want the old wine. It's our human nature to go against the patterns that we were raised in. But Lord knows where you're at. You are not abandoned. You are not rejected. You are chosen by Him. You are loved by Him. There are many of us women who are standing with you, and men too. We've been abandoned, rejection, and rejected, but God is with you. We are with you, and we love you. So I'm God's treasured possession here in San Diego, and I'm standing with you, sister. I love you. In Jesus' name.
My dear God, I worship your holy name. I praise your name, Father, for you are worthy to be praised. I come before your presence, Father. I come before your throne, your Lord, the throne of grace. praying for Curtius, my brother to God, who requested prayer. Calm his spirit, calm his thoughts to you, God, and give him peace, Lord. And we're grateful, dear God, that he heard from his wife somehow, dear Lord, and she cared for him, dear Lord. You know the depth of the situation, their marriage, dear Lord. You know all things, Lord. That I hear in his voice, Lord, that he's putting his trust in you, dear God, and that he's grateful that you have healed him from the concussion, dear Lord. Please, Lord, I ask you that you restore his marriage, restore his finances, restore his love from his wife towards him, dear God. Make it all new, Father, in Jesus' name I pray. You know how to do that, Father. Show yourself strong. Amen.
Hi, this is Mary from North Carolina. It is Monday, June the 29th. I just got through listening to DAB devotional for the day and heard Jamie from New Jersey's prayers for himself, his son, and his daughter, Katarina, I'm sorry. Jamie, I just felt your heart as you were telling us the needs right now. I can feel the broken heart and the concern and just the reaching out, the cry for the Lord to help you. And I'm standing in the gap with you, Jamie, that God is the God of all details. He knows exactly what, when, and how, and where. And he will provide, and he will guide, and he will direct. And I'm just praying that you stay firmly looking at his gaze on his face and knowing that our Heavenly Father knows all about it. And so I'm just encouraging you to just continue to hold on to God's hands. He is a loving Father, a good, good Father who goes before us, knows everything beforehand, is with us, and is our rear guard. So, Jamie, I will continue to pray until further notice on your behalf. And just know this community loves you. Thank you for all the encouragement that you give us and your prayers that you pray for us. And know that as you are watered, God will, as you water us, I'm sorry, God will water you. Love you. Love you all, DAB community. Thank you, Brian, Jill, Ezekiel, and the crew for just an awesome platform. Have a good week, everybody. Blessings, love, and may God's golden nuggets or kisses, so to speak, God winks, come to you this week.
Jamie in New Jersey, this is God's Life Speaker. I heard you on the podcast the 29th of June requesting prayer for yourself. And you know we love to pray, and we would love to pray for you. You are so faithful in giving us scriptural prayers to pray together. It's a joy to know that there's something specific to pray for you. And we have prayed for Alex before, and we continue to pray for that friend or that friend group, that they would come, that there would be young men, young women that would surround him, that would have something in common with him, some hobbies, whatever it is, God knows, and that those people would begin to show up, and that they would begin to be friends for life. We're going to pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Jamie, I do remember you asking for prayer for this. I think it was a promotion. And you were praying for those people before you even got the job. And then when you got it, your request was to pray for the people. You are so compassionate and caring in your heart and mind for others. I am praying for this, what will be seemingly bad news to go out, but God has a way of using it. May the way you deliver it so kind and full of your usual compassion that they know they have a friend in you. And may you have many opportunities to pray for them, and maybe even in the future to guide them. May you be blessed, this heavy weight that you've had to carry. Heavenly Father, bless Jamie in New Jersey. Would you help his son find friends? Would you help Jamie be the kind manager, boss that he is as he releases these people? And may you surround it all like you do, Lord, and hold it all together. In Jesus' name, we pray.